The political center of America is Nevada today, with the Republicans caucusing. And how is the economy there? I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Nevada holds its Republican caucuses today, and those citizens won't choose based on the national economy. For them, it's the Nevada economy. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer has a quick profile.
So if you ask Nevada voters, are you better off now than you were 4 years ago, would they say yes? Alan Berube thinks they would. He's with Brookings Metropolitan Policy Program.
In Nevada, you're probably better off than you were in 2012. You're probably not better off than you were in 2008.
Nevada's economy has improved. It's one of the top states for job creation, and it's cut its unemployment rate in half. But remember,
we were ground zero for the Great Recession.
That's Stephen Miller, an economist at the University of Nevada, Las Vegas. He says Nevada's unemployment rate is still over 6%. That's above the national average. And some Nevada homeowners are still underwater, owing more on their mortgages than their houses are worth.
We're number one in this bad category. It's a little bit over 20%.
But Miller says things still look positive for Nevada. That is, as long as the global economy's problems don't lead to another recession in the U.S. I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
Now, Nevada has no state income tax, which makes it a magnet for retirees. Some of the Republican candidates have been talking about changes to America's retirement system. Social Security gets points for consistency and reliability, but some demerits for its rate of return. Private investing can return much higher rates, but at higher risk plus fees. Marketplace's senior economics contributor Chris Farrell keeps an eye on the costs and benefits of Social Security. Chris, good morning.
Morning, David.
I mean, it comes up a lot, especially during a campaign year, particularly among Republicans who are running for president, often embrace the notion of, at some level, privatizing the Social Security system. Probably that would mean higher returns for some people, right?
You know, it essentially means, why can't you invest your Social Security taxes into a 401k? And then you could earn this market return because the stock market has done so well over a long period of time.
What's a typical rate of return that we can expect over the long term?
You know, you get rates of return of around 9%, but then you have to adjust for inflation. And then you really have to adjust for fees. And then you have to add in portfolio diversification. All these factors lower the rate of return. So we look at this great 9%. It's a lot lower.
So what kind of return am I getting on Social Security?
The median worker, someone with a 50-year work history. The rate of return on Social Security, 2.9% if they're single, 4.1% if they're married. This is a guaranteed investment, inflation adjusted, and that you cannot outlive it.
You can't get so old that the money stops, which, of course, can happen with all sorts of products that you might invest on your own behalf.
Yes. And then even more important, right now, the full retirement age is 66. But if you continue to work to 70, your benefit improves. That improvement is 8% a year. And if you are a lower income worker, if they delay 8 years filing for Social Security from age 62, they almost double their benefit.
Except, Chris, right? What if they change the rules under the weight of accounting pressure trying to prop up the system?
I believe that reason will prevail. Social Security's finances are going to be improved. And when that happens, the rate of return may go down a little bit because it's going to involve higher taxes. Nevertheless, Social Security is going to be there for future generations.
Our optimistic senior economics contributor, Chris Farrell in St. Paul. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, David.
Remember the London Whale, the executive who ran JPMorgan Chase's trading operation there when the unit lost about $6 billion from trades gone wild? Well, it's been 4 years, and now Bruno Ixel has sent out a letter to the news media saying the blame that came his way was unfair, given that he was following orders from above. A scapegoat, but not a whale. In fact, Ixel mentions in the letter that he never liked that London Whale nickname. $20 25 minutes after the opening bell. Let's check prices. We find the Dow down 36 points, 0.2%. S&P 500 down 0.4%. The NASDAQ down 0.3%. From a survey of home transactions in 20 cities today, prices went up 5.7% over the last year. Also, we'll be watching the Saudi oil minister at an energy conference in Houston today. His policy of not cutting production in the face of a glut has battered the oil and oil field services industry in Texas and beyond. But as for consumers, well, that is a different story. Julie Niemann is an analyst at Smith Moore & Company in St. Louis.
Consumers aren't even paying any attention to the stock market. They may have taken a look at their very depressing January statements, but that has not stopped them from buying homes, discretionary spending. They've got coins in the jeans. It's the plunge in gas prices that has made everybody optimistic. That's put about $35 billion into their pockets, and they are spending. And this is what's really going to help our economy. So consumers are pressing on because their jobs are solid and wages are increasing. Last year, we saw wages up almost by 2.9%, which is a very huge positive thing for the economy.
Staying with energy here, I talked to Bill Gates, the Microsoft founder and philanthropist, about the $1 billion he wants to invest into researching some very speculative but quite interesting energy sources of the future. Paint on solar panels that you paint on, liquid solar, and batteries that aren't ridiculous. He's looking for three things: clean, profitable, and super cheap.
I don't think the solution is making energy more expensive, because only rich countries can afford that solution. We need to take the billion of people in the world who are so poor, they have no energy access, no light at night, no refrigeration. We need to make energy so inexpensive that they can have the transport, fertilizer, all these services that we take for granted.
Gates put in $1 billion of his own and got the Amazon guy, the Netflix guy, the HP woman, Branson, and the first family of Facebook to kick in another billion to what's called the Breakthrough Energy Coalition to try to fund some of this risky but fascinating stuff. Now, if you miss our conversation on the air here, there's an even more detailed version if you go to our website, marketplace.org. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.